So the reading is on page 633 in the Church Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from this earth. You great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise.
Well, this morning we are in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 20, which you can find on page 1027 in the Red
Church Bibles. So let me read this text as we think about the sign for shepherds. That's Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Since it's almost Christmas, I thought that we could have a little quiz this morning. But it's not your typical Christmas quiz, okay? It's actually a road signs quiz. We're going to split into two teams, Team A, Team B. If I get my orientation right, I think this is north, isn't it? This way is north. So the northerners are going to play against the southerners. How well do you know your road signs, northerners and southerners? Okay, so I've got the first picture. This is for the northerners. I want an answer from somebody over here. What does this road sign mean?
Mountain ahead.
Not quite.
It's a sign for lorries to take a certain route.
Yeah, not just for lorries, but for everybody. I'm going to give you that one. Yeah, it's a diversion sign, okay? Paul, can you keep score? It's 1-0 for the northerners, all right? Southerners, what does this sign mean? Sorry? Bikes only. Yeah, cycle route ahead. One apiece. Okay. Northerners, what does this... I almost said it then. What does this sign mean? Yep. Yes! That was a tricky one, wasn't it? Well done. Ring road. Okay. Southerners? I heard it, but you've got to put your hand up. Minimum 30. Well done. Yeah, minimum 30 miles an hour. Urban Clearway. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that one. Yeah. 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 I had no waiting, but yeah, your explanation sounds much, much better. Southerners. Are you sure? Yes, it is. You are right. Well done. I think you're going to phone a friend then, Tim. Yeah. Good. Next, for the Northerners. That was, yeah, straight away. No overtaking. Good. This side.
Distance to a slip road.
It is, but what's the distance? 300 metres. 300 metres, 300 yards. What's your answer?
Yards.
Yes, I'll give you that. That was very courageous, Alison. Right, this team. Yes, well done, Johnny. How do you know that one? You've been to London, yeah. Congestion charge zone. Very good. Right, last one. This is a hard one. I'm very sorry for the Southerners. It's something to do with trams. I'll give you a clue. Trams have got to...
Stop.
You're helping them here, Johnny. Are you from the north or the south? Trams have got to stop. I'll give you the point because Johnny's so generous. So, is that 5-5? 5-5. We're all winners. We're all winners. So in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds are given a sign. And it's there in verse 12. And the sign is this. It is a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, it's a simple sign because newborn babies were, and they still are actually, wrapped in swaddling clothes to give them comfort. It's a way of mimicking the mother's womb. So there's nothing particularly unusual about the sign. But it is also a surprising sign because the baby is lying not in a comfortable bed, in a warm house, but instead in a manger, in a food trough for animals. And Luke wants us to know that this sign is significant. That's why he mentions it three times. So it's there in verse 7, verse 12, and verse 16. The sign is simple. It's also surprising. And the surprise of the manger should help us to see the significance of what is going on. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but the sign is so significant that it causes two reactions. There's a heavenly reaction of the heavenly host, and then there's the earthly reaction of the shepherds. And these are reflective reactions. So firstly, the shepherds are reflecting the heavenly host. The heavenly host are praising and glorifying God and spreading news of the sign. And then we find the shepherds doing exactly the same things. But then secondly, there is also a reflection of Psalm 148 here. In the first half of the psalm, the heavens and the angels and the heavenly host are called to praise the Lord. And then in the second half of the psalm, people are called to do the same. And that's what we see happening here in Luke. First the heavenly host, and then the shepherds are praising the Lord. But what's the purpose for all the praise? Well, in Psalm 148, heaven and earth are praising the Lord for who he is and for what he has done. So who is he? Verse 13 says, his name alone is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. So Lord, he is outside of creation. He is not a part of the mess that sin has caused. He is instead holy, he is set apart. He is not wrapped in sin, but in splendor. And he could quite easily have had nothing more to do with his creation. But rather than allow it to self-destruct in sin, the Lord has done something. And verse 14 of Psalm 148 says that he has raised up for his people a horn. Now, think about an animal with horns. A horn is a symbol of strength, isn't it? Without it, an animal would be vulnerable, open to destruction. But with the horn, animal can look after itself. It can live. Now, this horn in Psalm 148 is pointing forwards to the one who would come and give strength and victory and life to God's people. And he would come and reverse the effects of sin and restore their relationship with God forever. And you know, the great news in Luke is that this promised horn has now arrived. It's now arrived. So have a look back at Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69. What is Zechariah singing here? Well, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us." And this horn of salvation is now wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, Christmas is a time for surprises, so I've brought with me my my Christmas stocking. I'm sorry it's an Everton one, but it's the only one I could find. But there's a couple of surprises in here, so I'll put my hand in. And the first surprise is this word here, humble. Humble. The Lord's horn of salvation is lying helpless, wrapped in cloths, in the poverty of an animal trough. Now, Psalm 148 says that the Lord has raised up a horn, and yet we find him here down in very, very humble circumstances. And all of this is pointing to the humility that the child will undergo as a man. He's going to suffer on the cross for the sins of his people. So the horn became humble. But the second surprise from my Everton stocking is this word here, horn. This helpless baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, is in fact the horn of salvation. And although he is small, he is strong. Although he is helpless, he is able to help his people. That's because as a man, the cross was not the end. He rose to defeat sin and death, and he has ascended to the heavenly throne. And all of this means that when we put our trust in Jesus, our salvation is guaranteed. Now, I bought a car this summer, and great news was that it came with a 3-month guarantee. Fantastic. I'm going tomorrow to the garage because it's got some problems with it, and I've just gone through the documents and found out that that guarantee expired. How frustrating. Right before Christmas as well. But the guarantee of salvation is not like that. The guarantee of salvation, eternal life with God, is secure forever in Jesus because of who Jesus is and because what Jesus has done. Verse 11 in Luke chapter 2 says that Jesus is a savior. He is the horn of salvation. He is the Messiah. He is the promised Christ, the one that all of the Old Testament was looking to. And he is the Lord himself. He has stooped down into his creation to rescue it. Now, if salvation was the work of a person, it could never, ever be guaranteed. But because it is the Lord's work, it will work. The Lord has raised up for his people a horn, and here he is, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The sign is simple. It is surprising, but it is hugely, hugely, hugely significant. It is so significant that heaven and earth are talking about it in Luke chapter 2. So let's just think for a couple of moments about the heavenly and the earthly reactions to the sign. Firstly, heaven reacts by telling, by glorifying, and praising. Okay, so in verse 10, the angel is telling good news to earth. Now, have you ever received some really, really good news that you just simply couldn't keep to yourself? I remember 10 years ago when I found out my wife was pregnant with Evelyn, our firstborn child, and one of the first things I did was I went to my computer and just sent an email to everybody I knew. I just could not keep it to myself. And this good gospel news that the angel brings is such good news that it will cause great joy for all the people. It's as if heaven simply can't contain it. And all of this points us back to a God who is so good and so generous and so loving. And Psalm 148 says, his people are close to his heart. He loves his people. He rejoices over them. And he delights for them to rejoice in him. And that's why he sends his angel, which he does so with joy, with a message of joy. Heaven also responds with glory and praise. So in verses 13 and 14, the heavenly host appeared with the angel and were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, really, it means to just reflect God's brilliance, his goodness, his love. And God is pleased with this because that is what he is. And the heavenly host are doing it because it is actually the right response to who God is and to what he has done. And they're also praising God. I don't know if you noticed in Psalm 148, that verse, that word praise popped up many, many times. It pops up 13 times, actually, in the psalm. And you get to number 13 by adding 12 and 1. So 12, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel, all of God's people, plus the one God, makes 13. So the reason for all of this praise and thanks is because God is united to his people. And we see this in the chorus of the heavenly host. In Luke chapter 2, they say, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the sign of the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger is the meaning of true peace. Peace with God. No longer his enemies. Instead, forgiven and brought into his family, united to him forever. And all of this is God's work. It's his initiative. It's his plan. It's his doing from start to finish. And it's because of his heart that he has for his people, that they may have peace with him forever. And you know, heaven acknowledges that and responds with praise to the Lord. But what about the earthly response? Well, towards the end of the passage, we find the shepherds, like heaven, telling, glorifying, and praising God. So first they are telling. Look at verse 17, which says that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And then in verse 20, they are praising and glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen. And the question that I want to ask as I draw to a close now is this. What has made the shepherds do this? And quite simply, the answer is this. The sign. The sign. The simple yet surprising and significant sign. The baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The shepherds see the sign and they realize that this baby is in fact the horn of salvation. How do they get to that conclusion? Well, here's three things. Firstly, they see God's glory. There they were, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. It was just an ordinary night shift, wasn't it? But then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, when we think of the Nativity, we often think, don't we, that it's a lovely little children's story, don't we? But what we have here is more like a thriller. because it was so terrifying. The shepherds are mega terrified. And that's because the angel came in the glory of the Lord. In other words, God was present in a special, visible way. Now, Psalm 148 says that the name of the Lord alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. But the shepherds are not like that, are they? They are from below. And like each and every one of us, they are sinners. And sin, what does it do? Sin turns us in on ourselves. And what happens is that we seek to glorify ourselves above God. And so it is frightening, it is terrifying for sinners to be in the real presence of the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve, when God came into the garden looking for them, they hid because they were afraid. Moses, when he saw the glory of the Lord in the burning bush, he hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And Isaiah, when he saw the Lord exalted in the temple, he cried, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man with unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." So it is no surprise that the shepherds too are terrified by the splendor and the brilliance of the glory of the Lord. Now, I probably shouldn't tell you this story, but it is Christmas, so hey-ho, I will. When I was a lad at high school, at Kirby Kendall, we had a geography field trip into Kendall Town Centre, and we were doing a traffic survey. It was very, very exciting. And on that outing, I was in a team with another couple of lads, and we went to a cafe for quite a long break. And one of the guys in my team thought that it would be funny to steal the salt and pepper dispensers and some other things as well. I won't tell you which cafe it was, but he decided he wanted to do this. And he had nowhere to store these things, so he asked me whether he could put them in my bag. And, you know, me being naive and wanting it as well to look cool in front of my mates, you know, I kind of went along with it. Anyway, about an hour later, we were down on Lowther Street, and the geography teacher, Miss Talbot, she comes to us and she says, "Boys, the cafe are missing some things from the table. Do you know anything about it?" And I've got to be honest with you, I was absolutely terrified of Miss Talbot in that moment. How I wish that the ground would have swallowed me up. That's because the salt and pepper dispenser and all the other things were in my bag. I was terrified because I was in the wrong. Now, that geography field trip taught me a big lesson. It taught me and helped me to realize that I'm a sinner, actually, and that I need a savior. Because if I feared Miss Talbot's presence that much, how much worse would it be for me to be in God's presence as somebody who has actively rebelled against him? Jesus is the horn of salvation. He can only save us, however, if we recognize what we need to be saved from. And it's not just that we've done wrong things like stealing salt and pepper dispensers. Our problem is actually a deep one. We need saving from our own selves and our own hearts, because we are naturally inclined to rebellion against God, and we are naturally inclined to self-glorification. So the shepherds, by God's grace, they get a glimpse of the glory of the Lord. And you know what? So too can we. So too can we. When we ponder the sign, when we ponder the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, seeing Jesus in the Bible, understanding who he is and what he has done for us, it's like a light that shines into our dark hearts, and it helps us to see actually how much we really, really need him. So the shepherds see God's glory. Secondly, the shepherds hear the good news. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a marvelous message. It turns their mega fear into mega joy, their darkness into light. What a turnaround. And the shepherd's greatest need is not new clothes to keep them warm at night. Their greatest need is to be able to stand in God's eternal glory and to not be consumed by it. It is to be able to rejoice in God's presence without fear. And isn't it surprising that this glimpse of glory isn't happening in the temple in Jerusalem amongst the priests, nor is it happening at the manger. Instead, the camera angle turns from the manger in verse 7 out to the sticks and the darkness in verse 8, before a group of poor, smelly, sinful, low-status shepherds. And all this shows us that the gospel really, really is good news, because it is for anyone and for everyone. You know, Psalm 148 calls on all kings and all nations and princes and young men and women and old men and children to come. It is for all the people. Christianity is good news. The message of Christmas is good news. The sign of the baby in the manger is good news. And if it is not the best thing that you've ever heard, then you have not understood it. That sign for the shepherds is also a sign to us that as we ponder and as we gaze upon the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, that we may understand that he came for us too. He came to unite you with God forever so that you can know peace, true, lasting peace. That is good news. That is great news. That is the best news. That is joyful, joyful news. Thirdly and lastly, the shepherds believe in the sign. So after the angels departed, they decided to go to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had told them about. And they go. Not because the angel told them to go, and not because they didn't trust the angel. No. They went because they believed. Their faith moved them into action. And firstly, their faith is shown in their feet. They hurried off. The news is of primary importance. The sheep will have to wait in the open field, either on their own or under the care of others. It doesn't matter. And no doubt, their faith was strengthened when they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger, just as the angel had said. Then their faith is shown by their mouths. God's words are trustworthy, and that's why the shepherds are speaking God's words. So as soon as the angel departed, they were speaking God's words to one another in verse 15. Then in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And in verse 18, there is amazement at what the shepherds had been speaking. So the shepherds are speaking the speech of God. They are proclaiming peace from above. And then their faith is also shown by their hearts and their lives. In verse 20, the shepherds were glorifying and praising God for the things they had been told. Their lives are transformed. They are now living lives of thankfulness as they reflect God's goodness. So we started, didn't we, with a quiz about road signs. You know, road signs are important. They can help save some lives. But the most important sign is the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. He is the humble horn of salvation. And he is more important than road signs because he guarantees eternal life to everyone who believes in him. And that's what the shepherds did. And it, you know, it's wonderful to see, isn't it, how God met them where they were. And he communicated the good news to them in ways they could relate to. So they were told that a saviour had been born in the town of David. The angel could have said Bethlehem, but the shepherds probably knew that David too was a shepherd. And when the shepherds came and they saw the sign, they too became sheep, didn't they? They became part of God's flock. One flock, one shepherd, united together forever. The baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger was small, but what he came to do, in fact, was very, very, very big. I don't know if you noticed in Psalm 148, but it's not only heaven and the people who are praising the Lord. All of creation is praising the Lord, even the wild animals and the cattle. And that's because Jesus came to unite heaven and earth. And we get a glimpse of that here when the heavenly host come in the glory of the Lord to the lowly shepherds in that field. There is a temporary coming together of heaven and earth. But the thing, the one thing that will unite heaven and earth together permanently is this sign. That baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus is the cord that ties heaven and earth together forever. He came into the world in humility, but he will return in glory. And on that day, God and man will be united together forever with God. And all of creation will be restored. Pain and suffering will be replaced with praise and joy. Don't you just want to be part of that? Well, the shepherds did. And so they put their trust in Jesus. They praised and they glorified God. And they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child.